Hello, everyone. Thank you for checking out this special episode of Really Dicey. This is Manny, and I am here with...
Brian Shutter, writer and creator of Neon Lords of the Toxic Wasteland.
Which is what we're going to talk about today. First, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. So, yeah, this is a very interesting book. And I've come across this a few times in my research about Thundar the Barbarian. Right. About a few months ago, I did a video about what it'd be like to adapt Thundar the Barbarian into a role-playing game. And GURPS, we talked about GURPS a lot in its adaption. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, Mutant Core Classics. And then I come across, again, this book along with it. And I finally got this copy at PAX East. And what's interesting, though, is that I don't know if this I could compare this to Thundar the Barbarian. This feels like Thundar the Barbarian if the editors of Heavy Metal Magazine took control of the property and did some crazy violent things with it. Is that a good way of explaining the game?
Yeah, definitely. So, like, Thundar, of course, is, like, a good inspiration, but then, like, from there, added a little bit more, like, Judge Dredd, like, dystopian future to a little bit of it, and then some RoboCop, and then just kind of a little bit more over the top than just your quintessential, like, far fantasy, like, sci-fi post-apocalyptic Thundar thing. So it's a little bit in there.
And this is considered, the book calls itself a post-apocalyptic cassette.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic cassette futurism. So it's like, essentially, it's like the like a subgenre of like sci-fi, where it's like what the future would have looked like in the 90s, right? So it's like Total Recall. You got like the CRT TVs and like it's supposed to be in the future, but it's the technology of the day, just more like expanded. So that's kind of like the basic idea.
Mm. So let's start from the beginning. Where did the idea for this book come from?
So we were playing 5e and then I hit 10th level and like being a forever DM, I was just kind of like bored like with the whole basic fantasy trope. So then I was like, I'm gonna make my own He-Man game. So then I was like, all right, well, okay, so everybody can't be He-Man. So then it's like I added more classes and more classes into like the basic idea of like a post-apocalyptic He-Man. But then it was like slowly got more into like I like a lot of a post-apocalyptic battalion movies. So that kind of got added into it. And then like Escape from New York, Judge Dredd, and then the RoboCop stuff. So then it's kind of just melded into more of what I liked rather than just like a basic He-Man idea.
Hmm. And instead of using the 5e rule system, you went back to using like the more of a basic.
Yep. So like 5e, like the rules aren't bad. They're like really, really good rules. I mean, you know, it's popular for a reason, but I kind of wanted to like really lay into like the nostalgia and like the more 80s feel of it. So I went with like using the basic edition of D&D instead of 5e.
How would you differentiate it compared to Mutant Crawl Classics?
So Dungeon Crawl and Mutant Crawl use like the Goodman Games proprietary like D20 dice chain system. And so like it differs when it comes to like pretty much that basic core mechanic. Like DCC, MCC, they don't use like advantage, disadvantage, but we do, but we call it like a sludge and surge, like kind of like keep with the 80s, 90s feel. And then, but similarity, we use the same idea of crit tables. So like anytime you roll a 20 to hit, you roll on a to the max table. So there's like critical hits and critical fumble tables, just like DCC. And then like magic wise, it's a little close to it, to where in DCC you roll, the higher you roll, the better the spell effect, but like you can cast as many times as you want. It's essentially the same thing. We don't have the in-depth magic as it is, like you pretty much you do your spell check and then you get the spell, and sometimes you can do cool stuff to them, but not as like in-depth.
Now, was this a Kickstarter project originally?
Yep.
Okay, around, well, I want to say 2020?
So the first printing was, I think, 2020 Kickstarter. And then the Total Carnage one, I think, was 2022. So that's the second printing of it that you have. So we kickstarted it twice.
Oh, okay. Okay. So if I'm curious. So you mentioned before that the roots of this idea started with you dungeon mastering fifth edition. But I'm fascinated that you went with the post-apocalyptic route. You could have gone in almost any direction theme-wise with this book. What's it about the destroyed future theme that really called to you?
I think it's just ingrained into like in the zeitgeist of my life, because everything is like that post-apocalyptic, like far future. It feels like everything was back then. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's just like, it's like my favorite like movie genre too. So I really like to like dig into the post-apocalyptic, but not necessarily like how like, you know, some games are a slog. It's like, okay, I got 4 bullets left and like a half a can of water. Like, how am I going to survive? I wanted to be more whimsical and more over the top than like a gritty survival post-apocalyptic style.
Hmm. So who can you be exactly in this game? The classes in this game are really unique.
I mean, they go all over the place. There's like a bruticorn, which is like a bicorned unicorn that's like half cybernetic and can cast magic but likes to use shotguns. There's like cosmic barbarian, who's like a dual wielding like barbarian that snorts cosmic rocks to get high. And then there's like a war wizard, which is like your caster class. There's like a cybernetic Ronald Reagans that were like underneath the United States and then came sentient into the future for no apparent reason. And there's like the Heather class that's like a Vietnam II like specialized trooper that came like into the future and stuff. It's like all, they go all over the place.
So I'm curious about the setting. So the heroes, the heroes you can be heroes, you can be in this story are extraordinary. So what's the setting like exactly? What are the villains like in this world?
So the villains go all over the place. So you got, I mean, essentially the government itself could be like a big villain. Like there's like a tyrannical like president that's in charge of Detroit Prime is like the main mega city. That's one faction. Then you got like the mutant hordes in the wastelands or another faction. And then the big bad, like the big bad of the world is he's on like the cover, like underneath the dust jacket. What is his name? I can't think of his name off the top of my head now. Terrorex, the Techno Lich. Like he ruled the world for like hundreds of years, and then finally the president and his crew like killed him, right? But like, is he actually dead type thing? So then his faction of like cybernetic like mutants are running around too. So it's like, it's everywhere. Everything's always out to get you pretty much.
So let's talk a little bit about the rules. I know you sort of made mentions of it in your previous answers. But this doesn't. Does this use the same? Do you need the same dice set that DCC uses? It looks like
no. So no funky dice. Just your standard 7 role playing game dice. So then, like, and there's no skills. There's like, and it's a roll under your stat. So like, if you wanted to like a brains check, right? If you're like, oh, well, I wanted to like check this computer, see if I know anything about it. It's like, okay, we'll roll a brains check. If you have a 13 in brains, you have to roll 13 or under, and it's a success. If you roll over, it's a fail. Like, there's no difficulty checks, no skills. It's just like you either do it or you don't.
So when you wrote the book, where'd you go when it came to the art design of it? Because it's really eye catching. It's almost like if Ero Otis took some acid.
excuse me. So it was like, it's all a bunch of anybody that like, you know, like perusing the internet and checking out Instagram. If it was an artist that like caught my eye of like, man, like this is like, I think if I use this person, their like mind's eye will be in tune with like the Neon Lords like vibe. So I'd hit them up and be like, hey, like, interested in some work, you know, and then go from there. And every so far, everybody, knock on wood, that I've used has clicked, you know, like they got the idea. They're like, okay, yeah, like this is totally like, I understand where you're going, and it works out.
And let's talk a little bit about the equipment and magic. So what I find interesting about post-apocalyptic tales, especially those that combine magic and technology, is how creators try to balance the two so that magic doesn't overwhelm technology, technology doesn't overwhelm magic. How do you balance that in this game?
So the main idea of Neon Lords is it's very swingy. Like, it's swingy on purpose, so it's balanced to be unbalanced, essentially. But when it is balanced, like, it's a playable game, like it's not completely like off the rails. So like when it comes to like the magic is what keeps it like kind of not necessarily like, well, in check rather, is the sheer fact of like the more you cast, the worse you're off on like your chaos table. Like the more you cast, you start rolling on like a bad things table that starts happening to the war wizard. They end up just getting more corrupt, kind of like Dungeon Crawl Classics.
Now, for those that are, that have collected or have a copy of DCC and MCC, but they love the setting in this book, is there any tips, any suggestions for anyone that wants to take the setting and put it into Goodman Games or even D&D?
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy. It uses, so the BX system, like basic edition of Dungeons & Dragons, is still a D20 system. It's still like we took out the Thaco and everything, so it's roll over to hit. So any D20 system that rolls over to hit, you can port into it easily. Like for 5e, you would probably just have to bump up the hit points, and pretty much that's it, really. Like it's essentially all the same under the table, you know. If it's a D20 system, it's a D20 system no matter what. Like you can play pretty much anything in any system, just with a little tweaks here and there.
So now that this book is a few years old, when you look back at it, is there anything about it that you're the most proud of, whether it be the design or the rules or something?
I think I really like the setting a lot, like, and the classes. I think like having like such unique classes kind of sets it apart. And I'm pretty proud of that. Like, people always like talk about the Bruticorn, and they always talk about like the Ronald Reagans and like the Heather and everything. So like, that's like my favorite part, is people get excited about like the cool classes and stuff that you generally can't do in other games. Like, we have a class for, or a class that just does something you traditionally wouldn't see in a game.
And this book is complete. You don't need like Player's Guide, Dungeon Master's Guide.
Nope, everything's in there.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So then what is the future of this book? Do you see yourself maybe writing some adventure supplements the way...
Yeah. So we got a couple supplements out now. And then I'm just about to send two new books to the printer that just successfully kickstarted. And then after that, there's the Deities and Demi-Bros. I'm going to do a big, like the gods and the pantheon and more like the religious side of things. That's like the next big book.
Did you say Deities and Demi-Bros?
Yeah. Yeah, because like the main god is Lord Randy, the Savage One. And so like the rest of the pantheon is wrestlers too. So like if Macho Man Randy Savage is the Zeus of the world, then like the Undertaker is like Hades, and then the Ultimate Warrior is like Poseidon and stuff like that. So I want to like kind of like get it, flesh all that out more, and then have like a cleric style class and like a wrestling class and like all that fun stuff.
Oh, okay. So since you've seen, I'm sure you've been in many tables where either you ran the game or you watch other tables run the games at different conventions. Any favorite memories, any favorite moments that you've seen other players do in this setting?
Oh, so yeah. At Game Hole Con last year, like spoiler alert, there's like an adventure I run where the party is like in a band, and you just got beat in the battle of the bands by a synthwave group who like it has ties with like the local ninja clan. So then, rather than like, you know, just out of pure spite, they go to the Ninja Clan to beat him up to take the title back of Battle of the Bands. Like, it's such a weird, like, but it's easy. It's easy at a con because you're like, okay, like, you're in the Battle of the Bands. You've lost. Now you're at their hideout. Go beat them up, right? So then they end up getting to this hideout. And then one of the levels is essentially like the Foot Clan from the 89 Turtles movie, where it's like got the arcade and the half pipe and like pallets of menthol cigarettes. So like the Cosmic Barbarian grabbed a carton and took a ninja and forced him to smoke all the cigarettes until he died.
Wow. Yeah. Well, so what do you see in the future for this setting, for this book?
Oh, lots of stuff. So there's definitely Deities and Demi-Bros, a vehicle book, a lot more supplements, more adventures. I got plenty of adventure ideas, and then a few like standalone kind of skirmish games that we're kind of working on too, that like other games, not necessarily role-playing games, that are in the Neon Lords universe but not like using the Neon Lords rules.
Okay, so if I may ask,
yeah,
this weekend I was watching the Fallout series, another post-apocalyptic, you know, scenario setting. And what do you think humanity or we, you know, lovers of sci-fi tend to be so focused about post-apocalyptic stories? What is it? I mean, it's not the most happiest of tales, right? Most times.
It's not.
What do you think draws us to these stories?
That's an interesting thing to think about too, because there's so many facets and so many different things about post-apocalyptic, like you know, like media, right? So I just think it's just one of the pillars. Like, you got fantasy, you got like sci-fi, like space, and then post-apocalypse, right? So I think it's just one of those things. It's just a cool world with different like ideas of it. Like, look at like Fallout, look at like Gamma World, and then Neon Lords. Like, three completely different takes of the post, like a post-apocalyptic world, but all are post-apocalyptic. So I think it's the variety that like kind of brings it back to it too.
All right, I have one more question for you.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so if we're playing and you're running this, what music would you have in your background?
Oh, that's a tough question. It depends on what's going on. Generally, I like a lot of synthwave, like the newer bands, like Gunship and the Midnight and Neon Warlords, just bands that kind of do like synthwave-y soundtrack music for 80s movies that never came out, right? Essentially, so it's like has that feel, but it's like a modernized take to it.
All right, excellent. Well, Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your book.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
If anyone wants to pick up a copy, can they find it through Goodman Games website? Or
yeah, currently we are sold out on the Goodman Games website. They should be ordering some more soon. I know like Noble Knights always has them, and like GameNerds.com, Miniature Market. Pretty much if you Google Neon Lords of the Toxic Wasteland, you'll find a copy somewhere.
And is there a digital copies are available?
Yeah. Drive-Thru's got digital copies.
All right, excellent. Well, Brian, thank you so much for this discussion.
No problem.
And viewers, I will put the links in the description below. Thank you for watching. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next time. Unless the world blows up.
Right.